Please be seated. After the terrorist attack a little over a week ago in Nice, France, our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, produced a short video that was distributed online, and it was a video calling all of us to prayer. Something he said in that video really stuck with me and was the first thing that I thought about when I read today's gospel lesson. Bishop Curry said this: "In times when danger seems to lurk, when uncertainty is a reality, and when fear is an easy and natural response, it is important for us to remember as followers of Christ that prayer is not an escape from the world, but instead a way of deeper engagement with it by drawing closer to God and closer to each other." Man, I wish I'd thought of that. Because for me, Bishop Curry defines perfectly my own understanding of prayer that for so many years, I don't think I've been able to adequately articulate. "Lord, teach us to pray," the disciples ask. And if you really think about it, that's a silly question. The disciples knew how to pray. They were good Jews. They were men of God. So I think maybe they were asking for something different. I think they were asking for something deeper, a deeper or different understanding of what it means to pray. I believe they were seeking to somehow possess more of what they saw in Jesus, to attain that intimacy and that relationship and communion with God and with each other, unlike anything they had ever known. But frankly, I'm not so sure that Jesus' response to them really hits the mark, especially when Jesus seems to say that believers can and should ask for anything they need in their prayers and count on God to say yes. Does that bother you? It's okay to say yes. It bothers the hell out of me. Because unanswered prayers have created some of the most significant crises of faith that I've ever experienced. And you've been in that place. You've been in that place before, that dark and lonely place, wondering whether God has failed or whether you did. And you also know that most often we'll blame ourselves. We must not have had enough faith, or we didn't have enough people in our prayer chain praying with us, or we didn't pray the right way. So what's the point? Maybe it's there. Maybe it's there acknowledging our own limitations and recognizing that prayer is difficult to understand, that we perhaps can come to a greater understanding of what the disciples were really looking for. "Lord, teach us to pray," the disciples ask. And what is Jesus' answer? Well, I'm afraid if we look at this text too literally or simply as the mechanics of prayer, that we're not going to learn very much. Because Jesus gives them a model and then tells them a parable. The model you recognized, we call it the Lord's Prayer, although the more familiar version is in Matthew's Gospel. But the parable bothers me. I think because too often this parable has been used to communicate a message that if we pray hard enough and long enough, and if we're persistent enough, that we can eventually wear God down and get him to give us what we want. And that bothers me because I don't find much comfort or hope in that kind of message. Because every single one of us has asked but not received. Each one of us have knocked on that door and it wasn't opened. And in times of great need and despair and fear, an explanation of, well, maybe it's not God's will, or God answers prayers in different ways, well, that's not good enough for me. Well, folks, I'm not sure that's what this gospel lesson is telling us. The Lord's Prayer is not simply a how-to guide for praying. It's not an exhaustive theology of prayer with words that we can recite when we want something. Instead, it's a prayer about intimacy. Jesus says, when you pray, say Father, Abba, reflecting that relationship of a loving parent who cares for us and longs to provide whatever we need. And then the parable, the story of a neighbor and a persistent friend who for some reason wants bread at an ungodly hour, and the neighbor says, no, later. But the friend is persistent, and the neighbor finally relents, if nothing more than to get rid of him. That's not how I understand God. That's human nature, not God's nature. What if we've got it all backwards? What if the whole point of the parable is not that God is the neighbor and we're the pushy friend? What if the point is that we are the neighbor and God's the one who's persistent? In that case, everything changes. Is it possible that Jesus was telling his disciples that our prayers are effective not because of our persistence or because we have the right words, but because of God's persistence? That pesky desire to be in a relationship with us and to care for us. Lord, teach us to pray, the disciples ask. I don't have all that figured out any more than they did, but here's what I do know. God wants us to pray, and more than that, to ask for anything. The word persistent can also be translated as shameless, meaning that our petitions to God ought to be shameless, to be bold, to be audacious. Maybe we don't get everything we ask for, but it's in the asking that we affirm our fundamental dependence on God. And another thing I know is that God listens to our prayers. If prayer is truly about relationship, our prayers are without a doubt heard, because God longs for nothing more than being in a relationship with the likes of you and the likes of me. And beyond that, I really don't know that much about it. But I believe that if prayer is not an escape from the world, but rather a deeper engagement in it, as our presiding bishop said, then sometimes we have to allow for the possibility that we might in fact be God's answer to a prayer. Sometimes we have to be the ones who answer the knock on the door for those around us. Sometimes we might be the solution to those who seek. And sometimes we have to allow ourselves to be found by those who are desperately searching. For at the core of our prayer life is an intimate, loving, and mutual relationship with God and with each other, by which prayers can truly be answered, and by which we can become the answer to the prayers of someone else. It's never about having the right words to say, but sometimes it's about just listening to what our persistent God might have to say to us. And it's then, I think, that we could truly come to know that perhaps more than anything, just how much prayer can change us. Let us pray.